So last week we were talking about the prefaces during Lent. The prefaces, this part of the Mass that begins, "The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." You've still got it. And as I was praying, I was planning about this, and I just thought, like, yeah, it's good just to go into the preface for this week. Right, so the Gospel last week tells us about Jesus' temptation in the desert, and now we're hearing about what we call his transfiguration, when he takes his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up with him on a high mountain, and he's transfigured. The form that they see is changed in front of them. Here's what the preface tells us is happening. After he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain, he manifested to them his glory. After he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain, he manifested to them his glory. So sometimes to understand what's going on, it's helpful to understand what's not going on. So what does this phrase mean? He manifested to them his glory. Maybe you know about this. There's this thing that people are into called manifesting. I don't recommend it, but here's what it is. I said a prayer and looked this up just for the purposes of preaching. It's this way that, right, we have this deep, deep desire for certain things, and often we're unsure how to obtain these things, and so people do strange things sometimes. So here are directions for how to manifest. Don't try this at home or anywhere else. One, think of something you want. Two, imagine it. Concrete detail. Three, ask the universe for it. Four, write down affirmative sentences for what you want. For instance, "I have landed my dream job." Five, trust the process and let go. I found that on a real website that real companies hire to help their employees. Understandably, there are also a lot of things you can find online saying, "I tried this, it doesn't work, what am I doing wrong?" You're not doing anything wrong, if that's what's happened to you. Because the world works through causes. And often, though it is appealing, thinking about it or wanting it really hard does not cause things to happen. When Jesus, the preface tells us that Jesus manifested to them his glory, he's not showing them something he wants or trying really hard to get the universe, whatever exactly that is, to do something for him. Glory is the natural effect of real goodness. And Jesus is God. So he is holy and truly good. When God becomes flesh, his glory, for the most part, is hidden from our sight in his human nature. But he's still fully divine. And what happens when Jesus manifests to his disciples his glory is that he lets them see, for an instant, who he really is. Now, why would he choose to do this now? Well, it's because of what's happened just before that we didn't read in the Gospel today. The disciples have been following Jesus for a good amount of time now, about half the Gospel of Mark. They've left behind so much of their lives. They've left their families. They've sold their cars. They left their jobs. Their boss is still a little annoyed with them. Right? So they've left all this behind. And then, about halfway through, after they followed Jesus, maybe for a year and a half or 2 years, suddenly, one day, he says, "Oh, and the Son of Man, just so you know, must suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and die." At which point the disciples are going, "What did I do with my life?" And they need a little bit of encouragement, right? Because this adventure has turned out that it's going to be harder than they anticipated. This is perhaps not what they planned for. We've all been there at some point in life. And so Jesus allows the disciples to see foretaste. He gives them a hint of what's coming to strengthen them so that having seen his glory, they can even withstand his passion, his suffering, and his death. And they hear what the Father says to Jesus. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Because of our baptism, you are his beloved too. He wants to draw near to you, to dwell in you. Right? And because God lives in us, because he's adopted us as his own, we don't have to listen just to our own desires, or to the desires that somebody else might have for us. We can listen to him. Because that's where real joy and real fulfillment is. You too are his beloved. He delights in you. And he wants to prove this to us, to show it to us in a concrete way. And so the Father does not withhold from us his own beloved Son, who he offers for us and to us on the cross and in the resurrection, and when we come here to receive Holy Communion.